So we've had a couple of questions about receiving, and I thought it would be worth making a few clarifications. I think maybe some of the confusion comes out of a very common heart wish that people have to be connected and to fully, take in another person. Yeah? It's quite interesting in a way that yesterday I think I was mainly talking about receiving whatever was an experience. Yeah? But what that inevitably does, I think, is people start to think of all the, not only the difficulties in themselves, but all the difficult people they know and all the awful situations in the world. And the question becomes, do I have to take in all of that? Do I have to take in, you know, all of the hatred and the aggression and the violence and the anger in the world? Do I have to? Are you really asking me to take in all of that, to fully receive that? Yeah? No, please don't. That is not what we're doing, but what what we're taking in, this might be, let's see if we can get this distinction here. What we're taking in is the pain and the suffering in that instance, you know, where there's difficulties, yeah, in this particular case. We're taking in the pain and the suffering. Yeah, which is not at all the same as taking in the anger and the aggression. Yeah? Does that make sense? And the texts tell us to take that in with a joyful mind. Yeah? To take that in with a joyful mind. Okay? So it's a very delicate thing. what it isn't is what I call road bump mentality. Okay? So imagine, you know, a bump in the road, yeah? And imagine yourself as a bump in the road, and cars, you know, going over you. That is not what we're trying to be. We don't want to lie down and have people just drive over us. Yeah? That won't help us and it won't help them. Yeah? All we're doing is colluding in their neuroses. Yeah? Does that make sense? All we're doing is colluding in their confused state. We're not ameliorating that state in any way by taking it in. Yeah? So, we need to fully be present. But not cause violence to ourselves or other people by perpetuating anger and those sorts of things by sort of taking that in. We're taking in the suffering that's caused by that behaviour. Can you see the difference? I know it's not easy when you're sort of, when we're actually sitting there and we've got in our imaginations, we've got, these terrible things. We've got a lovely peopled Metta washing line. I like to think of it as sort of radiating Tara's rays coming out of Tara there. And there are all these sort of very difficult situations, and the desire is to make that better, yeah. And so we're sort of going into it, and then I'm talking about sort of really receive, but yes, it's not. If we receive the neurotic behavior, if we receive the negative behavior, we're just perpetuating it, yeah? And we're not ameliorating it. I've got a little sutta here. Hopefully, it's only a tiny one. Helps to. And actually, I think it's quite pertinent. It's talking about. I think it's sort of quite pertinent for the political situation we're in at the moment. But so this is it's a simile, I think you'd call it, of it's using the simile of people going on a long journey. And it's describing the attitude that we can create to someone who's immersed in unskillful behavior. So it's the Majjhima Agama, apparently. It's from there. So it's just like a person who is on an extended journey along a long road. Becoming sick halfway, he is exhausted and suffering extremely. He is alone and without a companion. The village behind is far away, and he has not yet reached the village ahead. Suppose a person comes and, standing to one side, sees that this traveller on an extended journey along a long road has become sick halfway, is exhausted and suffering extremely. He is alone and without a companion. The village behind is far away, and he has not yet reached the village ahead. So the second person thinks, if he were to get an attendant, emerge from being in the wilderness, far away, and reach a village or town, and were to be given excellent medicine, and be fed with nourishing and delicious food, be well cared for, then in this way this person's sickness would certainly subside. So that the person has extremely compassionate, sympathetic, and kind thoughts in the mind towards this sick person. So there's a genuine receptivity and openness to the pain and the suffering, and there's also the wish that that person is freed from that suffering. Yeah. So those are the two elements there. There's a real receptivity to the pain and the suffering, but what's connecting, what's going out to them, is a wish for them to be free of that. Yes, I'm mentioning it now because it's sort of come up for people, you know, as an issue, you know, when especially when we go in, like this morning, we were beautifully led into that metta where we were sitting with the with a difficult person, the receptivity is it's very delicate, but we're not wanting to be sort of we're not asking you to be sort of trampled and bulldozed by that negativity. Yeah. So it can take actually quite a lot of mindfulness as well, sensitivity and practice to be able to sort of be there in those more difficult situations, because it's so easy to get sort of overwhelmed by the state of mind that we're being presented with, and not seeing into the suffering and the pain behind that state of mind. So we've got a few resources that we can use to help us in that. One resource is well, it's our sort of our natural ability to how should I best put this? Well, okay, so I think I'll use the image, the metaphor of an elite runner. We might be engaged in a race, running along, and it's all going swimmingly, and we tend to think of ourselves, as the sort of the runner up the front, we're the one that sort of gets all the prizes and hits all the finishing lines and heads up, but. A lot of us are sort of back down the far end in the donkey costumes, sort of sweating it out with our buckets. and we can sort of, we can swing. Sometimes we relate to being, it's a good day, we've got all the right conditions, we can really resonate with the Dharma, we can really sort of take it in and I've really got this, I'm really free, I'm really open, and at other times, we're just down the back with the stuffed donkeys or whatever they are, dragging.
The donkeys.
Is it tortoises? No, you know how they wear those costumes?
Yes.
For charity.
Charity runs.
Yeah, and I always feel sorry for them because they're always sweating in their costumes. And, they're all bedraggled by the time they get in, sort of bits falling off the fairy's wings or the donkey's ears, yeah. Yeah?
Yeah, London Marathon.
Yeah, you're with it. Okay. So so we're both, we're both of these things. Yeah? We're both Paula, what's her name?
Radcliffe.
Radcliffe, thank you. And the bedraggled donkey. And it can be a bit confusing because sometimes we can think, oh yeah, I've really got that, and then at other times we're just nowhere on the planet, yeah. But the trick is to get all of us over the finishing line, yeah, to get the whole gang over the finishing line and all the hundreds of thousands of people in between, yeah. So the trick is to get both the elite runners and the stragglers, yeah? The charity walkers. I mean, their hearts are in the right place, for goodness sakes.
Oh, yeah.
And what we can do is that we can use one to help the other. Yeah? And that's actually what we're doing. You know, when we're doing things like sort of imagining the freed mind and the love filling the room and coming into our bodies, we're using that sort of that resonance with that openness and expansiveness. We're using that to bring in, to resource ourselves, yeah. Because if we were to just even forget all the hatred and the aggression, even just to take on all the pain and suffering out there, you know, into poor little me who's constricted and, you know, in a donkey, you know, sweating in the donkey suit, exactly, yeah. It's just not—it's not feasible. So what we need to do is we need to access that those more open, expansive state of mind. It's not the little constricted me that's taking in all that suffering. Yeah. It's that open-heartedness, and that open-heartedness is actually inexhaustible. Yeah. Lack of craving. When there's no craving, there are no limits. Yeah, it is completely inexhaustible. You can't find the edges of it. Yeah, so that is what is doing the receiving. That is what doing the meeting. That is what is meeting the suffering. Actually, it's what's doing the receiving as well. little me doesn't get very far in receiving either. We just close down. We don't let it in. So, So it is. I mean, we can see this when we do the metta. You know, it's like we can give ourselves little encouraging instructions, like, "Well, just okay. There's I'm feeling." Pain or distress. Well, we can surround that with love. Yeah, we can surround that with love and support. Yeah, but who is it? You know, it's us supporting us. Yeah. Well, we can do that. You know, it's a fantastic acrobatic fact of our beings that we can do that. You know. So, and you know, anything that comes up, we can just support that with love. So any confusion, any resistance, and you know, all of that, we can just, you know, we can give ourselves a big hug, you know, in our imagination. We can do that. So whether you relate to it as whether you relate to the qualities of that expansiveness and that freed mind as you know, coming to us from the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, or whether you relate to it as just the nature of the freed mind that's accessible, and actually we know we resonate with, you know, the elite runners of our being have experience of that, you know, have experience of that of that expansiveness. That's why we can go into nature and the open sky can resonate in our beings, yeah, and call forth that sense of release in us. Yeah. In a way, I suppose I'm just unpacking the sort of the path of vision and the path of transformation. But just to give you a sense of how that works. And then to have real trust in that, to have real trust that, okay, so, you know, a lot of the time we may not be up there with the elite runners, yeah? But that doesn't mean to say that that experience isn't possible, wasn't there and can't affect you know, the whole run. we just need to sort of keep the faith in a way. Yeah? Keep the faith. So in a way then we can say it's not me. It's not I don't have to meet all the suffering of the world, yeah? I don't have to alleviate all of the pain, yeah? It's not little me that does that. It's big me, if you like. We can talk about whether there's a me at all later on in the process, but for now, you know, it's that expansive state of mind, yeah? And that is inexhaustible, yeah? That is inexhaustible. We can't find the limits of that. So if we feel we're getting overwhelmed or we're up against our limits, that's entirely natural, by the way. In a way, that's what this sort of practice is showing us, is where we are. You know I'm not enlightened, my energy isn't free and totally flowing, and you know, I don't live in that, but I don't always know where my limits are. I can't always feel them. So when we do this sort of practice, we're shown where, you know, we put the boundaries. Oh no, I'm not going to go there, thank you very much. Nope, I'm going to refuse that bit or ignore that bit. Yeah. So it's completely normal for that to be the case, that we're doing that, yeah? And we can also surround that with love, yeah? Surround that with care, surround that with well-wishing, yeah? Wish for that to be free, that to be released, yeah? So whatever we're feeling, whatever the response is, we can surround that with love, with care, yeah? Are there any questions? Yeah.
I know it might sound silly, but I find myself wondering about, and it is being up against it, like with the angry person or with the new person, someone being in their neurosis. Like I can do quite a lot in most situations, and I think it's because you mentioned the terrorists.
Yes, sorry.
That's fine. But because that's so much in awareness these days, it's a challenge. So I'm walking along the path, and I meet someone who's really in that situation between the villages.
Yeah.
But they've got a gun and they're pointing it at me.
Yep.
You know, that level.
Then I
think, well, wisdom, I just run.
Yes, yes,
you know,
yes,
I,
good,
you know,
good.
I just run. Yeah. So there's wisdom also in facing.
That's compassion too.
We can make choices, I guess, about some kind of wisdom, whether I can and actually can't do this.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's compassionate awareness, I would say.
Is it really?
Yeah, because you're not... What good are you doing standing there and being shot?
No.
you know, that actually just perpetuates their negativity,
yeah.
And it, you know, it yeah. doesn't, you know, so that's the, that's exactly the sort of not the speed bump mentality. The, yeah, speed bumps, that's what they're called, aren't they? Road bumps. Anyway. That, no, that is compassionate. And knowing what our resources are, you know, it's like, and also in a way, until we can see the pain and the suffering behind the gun,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
it's like all we're doing.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So, you know, with those sorts of things for me, if they come up, I sort of, little me can't see the pain and the suffering behind the gun. You know, I'm just sort of, in the oh my God. I keep the faith that there is pain and suffering behind that, and that in a way, if I open to as much as I can to receiving that love and having that love flow out, that that can meet it. It's not me that's trying to, you know, going in there and taking the gun out of their hands. It's a, yeah?
Yeah,
it's quite important that this is clear, because it's, you know, if you go into these sorts of practices, like, you know, if I hadn't said anything and people were sitting there receiving all this hatred and, you know, great, we're in silence, we spend 8 days just filling ourselves with more and more hatred. So, no, I mean, you know, okay, that's caricaturing it, but it's quite important that we understand what we're doing here, yeah? So is there anything else that people would like to clarify in this area?
It's something about where an aspiration, where there's an aspiration for something.
Yes.
And the need not to do what you were just saying. And I don't know how to. Because the aspiration is positive.
Yes. The aspiration being the wishing that they're free from suffering.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The well wishing. Entirely positive. Yes.
So, yeah. How do you sort of stay tuned into the aspiration and still run?
Well, in a way, you could say that you're running because of the aspiration, because, you know, if you stayed there, ignorance would multiply, would increase, would fester, would be there. Yeah. So your aspiration is for real, concrete, positive change and release and freedom. You know, of that suffering and that pain. And that negative state of mind is just keeping that in place. Yeah. Does that make sense?
It does, apart from the last bit, the negative state of mind.
Well, that their negativity is increasing the ignorance.
Right. Yeah.
So if we enter into that, you know, yes, there's awareness of dukkha, but that isn't the same as the well-wishing. You're looking quizzical. Okay. Oh, you're still on the donkeys. So do people feel like it's possible, this area, for them? Or does it just still seem a bit daunting? So we can practice, we can practice receiving much less challenging things as well. and the aspiration can still be there to receive the big things. You know, the aspiration it can be limitless. You know, and we can just, in terms of suffering, it's really important to sort of receive where we sort of understand the pain and the, you know, or if we don't receive it, but it's not me receiving it, you know, it's something much bigger that actually does understand and can hold it. Yeah. We'll explore this more as the days go by. Yeah, in practice. Okay, I think we'll have a 15-minute break and then come back and do a sit.